This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Are you ready, Brent?
It's Friday.
It's Friday. It's Dave's favorite day.
Yeah.
And a lot of people love Fridays.
They do. And they leave work early, too.
I left the house today with a sweater on.
You did?
I'm like, oh, this is totally unnecessary.
I got short sleeves on today.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. We are at KYKN and this is Newsmakers. We're with you every weekday at noon to talk about things we feel like talking about. Heck, let's just admit it.
That's right. It's right? All about us.
We tend to try to bring you, however, guests of interest who might be elected leaders, might be nonprofit leaders, might be entrepreneurs, and things that affect our community around here in Salem, Kaiser, and in Marion and Polk counties.
Yep, the surrounding area.
Yeah, I was, I just saw a headline again, because we talked a couple of times about the paper plant going into Dallas.
Yes, I
remember
that.
I almost said Dallas instead of Polk County because we do have Lyle Mordhorst agreed to come on a show. He's the newest commissioner in Polk County.
Mm-hmm.
Lyle is a great guy by all accounts. He's manager of West Salem, or was the manager of West Salem Les Schwab, and he recently retired. And so he retired in January and had put in to fill a vacancy in the commission. So it's about all I know from Lyle right now. He's been a busy, busy man, and he did not want to book it yet. He's like, I don't even have, you know, a feed under me yet. And I said, well, let's let our listener get to know you a little bit. So he's going to come on the show here pretty soon.
Excellent.
So that'll be great. And that'll our count will be up to five of our county local county commissioners that we've had on the show. So it'd be nice to have him and see, you know, what it's like to jump onto a moving train and take
pretty
a whole
much.
New job
yeah.
that's foreign to you and try to keep up to speed on everything. But more importantly, Polk County listeners should really know their commissioner. They should mm-hmm. know who he is, why he's there, and things like that.
So what about the paper plant?
Oh, so that it was in the headline at the Dallas paper about it still going through approval process. So it doesn't seem like there's anything right now derailing it.
Oh, that's
so
good.
That's very good.
Lots of red tape then.
So if the Polk County assessor is listening and they want to call in and tell us how much that means to the city of Dallas every mm-hmm. year in the general fund and Polk County, that would be awesome.
We should just ask them straight up.
Yeah.
What can we do to help?
Yes.
How do we move this forward a little faster?
All right. Anyway, and also we did also book for Newsmakers coming up in a couple of weeks because they are in session at the legislature, so it's hard to get to the legislators in during a noon hour show.
They should call in.
Representative Bowles is going to come in.
Oh, excellent.
She's going to come in, spend an hour with us in a couple of weeks, and if you're not familiar with Representative Bowles, she served twice as an interim representative when there were vacancies. And most recently got elected, of course, in the fall. And now she is, and it's South Salem. It's kind of another wonky district, but South mm-hmm. Salem, and it goes east and encompasses other parts a little bit more rural from there. So she's a Republican, and it's her first full term.
Yeah.
And so it'll be great to get a feedback because it's the same question I have all of Republican representatives in the legislature this year is, how horrible it is it?
Jeez.
How horrible is it to know that none of your ideas matter? None of your legislation is going to get passed.
So they feel like us then.
I don't. Yeah, sometimes.
Right? That's how we think sometimes.
All right. So before we get to the first break, there's a little topic. We've talked about it a little bit more. It's coming back up because there's another push to pass it. It's Senate Bill 379. It has to do with employee rights for cannabis in the workplace.
Ooh.
Right. So an email blast went out, an informative blast from the Oregon State Chamber of Commerce. So our friend J.L. Wilson. And basically they're saying, hey, we thought we'd killed this. It's coming back up. There's going to be another hearing, you know, and here are our points and why we're against this, you know, on behalf of small businesses in the state and so forth. So a couple of bullet points. This is, and like I said, this is straight from JL and Jenny Dressler as well at Oregon State Chamber. There was a court case, the Emerald Steel court case, and it said that employers are entitled to have zero tolerance policies.
That's good.
Established in the court.
Yes.
So why are you going to pass a law that's going to get challenged based on an existing court color?
Yeah. Right.
It's already preempted by a Drug-Free Workplace Act. So I don't know the particulars of that act, but that's I'll trust JLS.
No drugs.
There is a Drug-Free Workplace Act. So they would say that that would supersede this law that the Oregon legislature is trying to pass. And because practically there's no, practically speaking, there's no tests for impairment for cannabis. There's no, you can't, hey, let's take a breathalyzer.
Except looking in their face.
Walk a white line or anything. So there's nothing established there. So that leaves it really squishy. And it's really hard to have squishy regulations for an employee when you're talking about workplace regulations.
And safety, too. Yeah.
And last, the last point they had was that the use of legal prescription drugs, like medical marijuana would be, is already protected. So that's already in the statute. It's a little bit, in that sense, it's a little bit about passing new drug, gun laws.
Right.
When something happens, when you're like, yes, but there were 14 gun laws that were violated. You know, are these laws are already on the books.
Right.
We don't need to pass another one.
Yeah.
And, you know, these protections for the workers are, in their argument, already on the books. You don't have to pass another one and so forth. So another bill to watch, Senate Bill 379. You kind of wonder sometimes who the constituents are.
Right.
You know, and the things that they are pushing. So, and I hope that the legislators realize that this applies to all of the government workers as well.
Yes.
So government workers get to come into the workplace impaired if they, well, not impaired, get to go in their lunch break, smoke a doobie, right, and come back, and you can't really judge them.
If they have a medical marijuana card, right?
Yeah. No, anything, because it's legal. They don't, yeah, you cannot discipline them. You cannot have policies against it. They can do whatever they want as long as, you know, they're functioning, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really hard position to put the employer.
Sounds squishy.
Very hard position to put the employer. And what are you going to do? And so now, you know, of course, a lot of state workers are under collective bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things all have to get hammered out in fine print and collective bargaining. But yeah, it's going to apply to them too. And they better not, you know, exempt themselves like the U.S. Congress likes to do. Pass a law that's, oh, you need to do this in the workplace. But by the way, no federal offices have to apply.
That's not right.
You know, back in the 90s when the sexual harassment in the workplace laws were written, that U.S. Congress exempted themselves.
What? No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What?
They exempt themselves from a lot of laws.
That's just not right.
It goes back to the Contract for America.
I remember that.
Yeah, Contract for America. People should look it up and see what those 10 items were. But one of them was Congress must adhere to the laws that they pass.
That's a good one.
They can't exempt themselves from the laws that they pass. And that was a good one. And I've had, you know, friends who are, shall we say, they lean to the left,
mm-hmm.
right? And they, you know, and they would make snide faces and comments about the contract on America and how, you know, Newt Gingrich this and blah, blah, blah. And I said, do you know what's in it? They didn't know what's in it.
They didn't read it.
No. I said, do you think that the Congress should vote on whether or not they should have a balanced budget? Yeah, that's really important. Okay. Do you think Congress should adhere to the laws that they pass? Yeah. Totally. Well, that's in there. It was just like one after that. You're like, because you're part of a different party, you're not willing to listen to an idea from the other side.
Yeah.
That gets me to that topic above how we get cloistered in our clubs. That's what we're going to talk about after the break.
Okay.
All right. So stay with us. We're going to talk about how we get cloistered and wrapped ourselves around until we're making maybe not prudent decisions about the clubs we belong to. Hey, you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers, proudly sponsored by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. All right, we're going to have a little lighthearted rant, shall we?
Okay. How big a soapbox do you need today? 1 foot, 2 foot, or 3 footer?
I don't. Just give me the big golden mic, right?
Oh, boy.
And actually, there is a couple of other things. Governor, former Governor Kulongowski, has an editorial, an op-ed piece in the Oregonian about PERS reform, which is kind of interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we'll try to get to that as well. There's some compromises in the cap and trade. What I love about the cap and trade thing is they have so many competing interests now because, you know, the natural gas producers, they want concessions. Farmers want concessions. Rural people want concessions. And by amendments, you know, some dispositions for them.
I want an amendment. I want out of it.
Yeah. Large industrial users. And like, in other words, everyone that the bill is targeting would like to have you amend them out of it, please.
Yes.
And then, you know, some people want it just so badly they're going to try to pass it through with whatever form they can. And other people who are really behind it say, no, no amendments, just ram it through and everybody has to suffer. And, you know, I'm hoping that it becomes
Why do we have to suffer?
Such a mess, political mess, that they just don't get it done. Maybe that.
Well, I would hope.
Which has happened before.
Jeez.
It happened at the U.S. Congress. All right. Like going back to the club thing. All right. So Jussie Smollett, right? So
we don't talk normally about national stuff, but this kind of hits everyone.
Yeah, it's a national and it's pop culture too.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. But here's where it tees off for me. He's black and he's gay.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm fascinated to see as this thing plays out into his future, into the, and his career, will people rally around him because he's black and he's gay, right? Or will they shun him for having thrown gay and black people under the bus by perpetrating the hoax, right? So the question is, you know, so often you see this phenomenon if, you know, we're conservative and they're liberal, that we tend to give more of a pass to people in our club. Fair enough?
Okay.
Do you think?
Sometimes, yeah.
Like, you know, the quintessential example is the National Organization of Women giving Bill Clinton a pass for being a serial sexual predator.
Okay.
Where they throw every woman under the bus because he's a member of the club.
Right.
He's Bill Clinton and he's a D. So therefore, by definition, he's on our side. You know, they give him a pass, right? Yeah. And I think if the liberals would argue that evangelical Christians are giving Donald Trump a pass for infidelity, you know, language for his, he's not the world's most moral person, right? So their argument is, hey, fundamentalist Christians or the Christian right, you're giving an immoral man a pass on his abhorrent behavior towards women, blah, 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 because he's an R, or maybe because he's pro-life or purports to be, or because whatever. So it's perplexing to me when we have people who are members of our club and we're supposed to have shared values.
Right.
And they violate them. Aren't we supposed to purge our club of that person?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. So let's give an example. Let's see. I had a Rotary Club, which is, you know, it's a service club, but it's made up of business members. And it has standards for ethical behavior in your workplace, you know, ethical behavior in your profession. If someone is caught, you know, and exposed to having unethical business practices and so on and so forth, should the Rotary wrap their arms around him and protect him from prosecution and say, no, but he's a great guy? Or should they say, hey, John or Susie, you can no longer be a Rotarian because your actions are in conflict with our values?
You would think that would be the way to go. The club should, if somebody breaks the rules or breaks the law or commits 14 felonies like Jussie did, the group should push them to the front and say, you need to face the consequences and you can't be in this group anymore.
Right.
That's how it should be.
Right. And so that case is going to be really interesting in terms of, does he get his job back? Do they bring him back into the workforce? I mean, he's going to have to be, there's going to have to be people of all political bents and colors and sexualities that do not believe that what he's saying happened.
Mm-hmm.
That frankly just believe what the police believe and the prosecutors believe, that he perpetrated the hoax. So how is that going to be accepted when, you know, the police chief in Chicago said it very well about, you know, throwing the black community, throwing the gay community, and, you know, this is, and maligning them into the whole, I don't know, the whole thing was so fishy from the start.
Wasn't he charged with 14 felonies?
Yeah.
How did they get dropped? Seriously. I can see them dropping a few numbers on it, but not all 14 and wiping it clean and say, you're free to go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be. They would not drop the charges on me. They would throw away the key.
Yeah. So
14 felonies. I mean, the first one that is filing a false report, that's one. How many people here have filed a false report and ended up in jail? You know, the false rape ones, the false attacks in the park, things like that. You go to jail for a little bit of time.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing is travesty. It's unbelievable.
I don't understand it.
I mean, frankly, I don't understand why anybody believed it to begin with. Nobody who goes through that attack, he's not going to sit there for 20 minutes with a noose around his neck.
Right.
Right. It's so theatrical. It's like
overacting.
This might happen on a Broadway stage for, you know, visual impact, but
yeah.
Nobody's going to be traumatized and be a victim of a racial attack and have a noose around their neck and keep it there and wait for the police to arrive.
No.
They'll get that thing on. I mean, it's just ridiculous. All right. But go back to the task at hand. It's the same thing that, say, why would police officers protect a dirty cop? Right.
Maybe,
there's the
yeah.
blue line.
Yep.
And I totally understand, you know, cops sticking together. I'm pro law enforcement. I'm pro rule of law. But when there's a bad apple, aren't you supposed to purge that person?
Yes.
You got somebody on your sports team and they're a cheater. And it's contrary to the values of your team, of
yeah,
your coach,
the
of
coach,
your program.
The coach would sit you down or suspend you.
Yeah.
There's consequences to
why
that.
Why would the players who are, you know, the whole team approach, and I don't know if this is making any sense to the listener,
yeah.
I'm hoping so, but it's pervasive in our society, whether we're talking about a sports team, like you've got, I don't
or
care how many home runs you hit, if you're the kind of person who won't run to first, even though you're making $20 million, and you'll step on the opposing team's ankle.
Ouch.
Hello, on purpose, with the intent to injure.
Mm.
I don't want you on my team.
No.
Because
that's dirty playing.
You're a dirty player.
Yeah.
I'm like, if that's not the values of your team, so San Diego Padres, congratulations. You just set the values for your team. Let's be lazy and dirty. That's their marquee guy now. Anyway, for you baseball fans. Maybe we'll talk about it with the Volcanoes. You know, we need to commit.
Yeah.
So it's sports. It's political parties. We got to stop wrapping our arms around. Hey, we'd have a lot more credibility if somebody purports to be a conservative, purports to be a liberal, whatever it is, and then they act completely contrary to that. We got to, no, you're out. No, you're out.
Yeah, you know, face the consequences.
Jesse Smollett, Hollywood should say, no, we're done with you. If Hollywood is as liberal as they seem, and they are, right?
Yeah.
They should say, no, you're not throwing everything we believe under the bus and then coming in and getting a cushy job on a television series.
Because they did cut him out of the series. And then they put him back in.
Uh-huh. And well, if the series comes back, the question is, will he get his job back? Or will somebody else hire him and feel sorry for him because he's black and plus he's gay? So the question is, and you posed this question about why they said these things. Did they get set aside because he's black and he's gay? And do the black people and the gay people want to play by the same rules? Right? They want equal justice. They want equal treatment. They want to be equals. Well, then Jesse should be treated equally.
Absolutely.
Not as a star, not as somebody who's a, you know, legal liability potential or anything else. Somebody who did something wrong. It doesn't matter what club he belongs to in terms of Democratic Party, in terms of advocates for LLB, you know, all that, or Hollywood. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So I'm really interested in how Hollywood is going to treat them. They're going to wrap their arms around it because, well, he is one of us. He just made a mistake. Poor Jesse. He was so
misguided. Did you hear the reason? Did you hear the reasons why they dropped the felony charges?
No.
Because he had enough. scrutiny, and he was thrown under the bus. It was ridiculous. I was like, what? You don't just drop the 14 felony charges because he got his name dragged through the mud. He made it up, people. He made it up. He should be in jail. I'm sorry. 14 felonies.
So I think I'd like to see in political parties that people not be given a pass. Yeah. It's okay to say, hey, I'm going to vote for George Bush. I think he was wrong on this topic. I think he was made a mistake here, whatever. I'm going to vote for Obama, whoever. But you can't just throw aside and ignore when they do something wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they make a mistake, mm-hmm. you know, they need to be called to task. And
especially a felony.
I really don't want to sound like Glenn Beck and, you know, in terms of going back to ragging on Hillary and going back to Benghazi, but she was given a pass.
Totally.
Know, because she's in the club. It's like you have to hold them accountable or you don't have credibility.
Absolutely.
So it goes back. I'm going to get roasted for this. But it does go back even into the 80s. And if you believe, did we talk about this? No.
I think we probably did.
Probably off the air. Oh, it's time for a break.
It is.
All right, I'll say it. If you believe that Oliver North was trying to go around the U.S. Constitution.
Yes, we talked about that.
You have to throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
You have to call him to task, I think. And I felt at the time, and I was conservative, I was, you know, a Reagan supporter and everything, but I thought at the time, if he's trying to go outside the Constitution, mm-hmm. my conservatism says he has to be held accountable. It bothered me that people who were conservative were saying we need to protect him or he's a hero. I'm like, even if I agree with what he was trying to accomplish public policy-wise on an international stage, it's all irrelevant as soon as somebody who's part of my club thinks it's okay to go outside the Constitution.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how I would hold a task historically on the right, and then I could just go on for the rest of the hour on Bill Clinton, but we won't.
Thank God.
Stay with us. Stay with us. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. It's Friday afternoon, Brent.
And it's sunny.
And it's sunny. And we have Volcanoes, Mitch Graff coming up in the next segment. But I wanted to pass along a little bit of good news. Remember Monday?
Yesterday. Oh.
Was it?
Day before yesterday.
Wednesday. Missing girl?
Yes.
14-year-old. They found her in the time that we were on the air.
Terrific.
So that was good news.
And she's okay.
Reported to be in good condition, back with her parents, and they thanked us by email. Thanked us for our help.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great news. This makes my week. That's great to hear. All right, so we're going to leave that soapbox behind, and it's just one of the things that always perplexes.
Here, let me pull Brent. It out from underneath you.
So, we mentioned that Governor Kulongoski, if you've missed the Oregonian, and he's got a piece in there about reforming PERS. Somewhat statesmanly, it's somewhat like Charlotte's social leadership that didn't necessarily manifest itself when he was our governor, but he was in the heart of that thing in 2003 when they tried to pass some PERS reforms.
Sure.
And he was the governor and what they could do, and things got overturned by the courts. And we're talking, of course, the public employee retirement system. We're looking at, $26 billion in unfunded liability.
Unfunded.
Yep. So that's how much they anticipate they will be able to pay in excess of what we'll actually have in cash. Okay, so this editorial in the Oregonian, and his posing the question, what can we do? It shows some leadership. So he does have a PERS solution organization. So if you want to see what Governor Teddy has, it's perssolutions.org. And you know, some of these things, I'd say what you're saying, they're pretty practical and pragmatic. I get it. But it's not like I propose. What I'd like to see is this legislation, this action, not pontificate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like keep the promise for all the benefits earned to date will be one of our, you know, the driving theories. And I get that. You made the promise to public employees that if they're retired or if in the workforce, he says, we keep those. Let's start with that as a fundamental basis, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I would have to say you have to agree with that. If you've made the promise and it's in writing, you can't change the contract midstream, even though the contract was stupid. You may also, because his next bullet point was correct excesses in the current system going forward. I think one of the excesses is having people on the PERS review board who are on PERS.
Yeah,
there's that's a conflict of interest.
Totally.
I don't know that I'll ever get over that, that knowing that the mortality tables that should have been updated for decades were not updated, and people who are voting on that were on PERS. So if they voted on it, it would have changed their retirement,
mm-hmm.
but nobody threw the warning flag. Nobody threw the penalty flag and say, conflict of interest, people.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Can have PERS recipients deciding how rich it should be.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Oregon, for that little sunshine. And here's a big one. And maybe he has a solution for this, and maybe I'll go to his website and suggest it. Ensure that employees share the cost of supporting their retirement benefits.
Well, duh.
But they can't.
Why?
They can't.
We all do.
Yes, that is the point. And actually, and people who are not tier one people do. Okay, we're just talking about tier one.
Yeah.
You know, so consistent with the standard practices of public sector and private sector plans. All right. So, folks, when I was part of the council in Salem and we're going through the collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
And I can't remember which union it was. It might have been fire or police or the others. But PERS was already an issue. It was a huge issue.
Right.
This is 2004 to 2008. And my question is, okay, so a lot of jurisdictions were participating in what they call the 6% pickup. Are you familiar with that?
No. What is that?
So in the 80s, the government was tight. The budgets were tight. And they told them, we can't afford to give you raises. How about, because the government was putting in 6% and the employee was putting in 6%.
Okay.
They negotiated so that to get through the budget cycle, they would instead, they're going to pick up the employee 6%. 6% pickup. So now the government's doing 6 plus 6.
That would be 12.
And the employee at that point is putting nothing out of their paycheck into their retirement.
And it didn't change?
No. Still the case. So, all right. So you understand historically why it happened, but there was no out.
Right.
There was no out. We're going to transition out of this. It's going to be forevermore. You're going to put zero, and we're going to put in our 6%, and we're going to pick up your 6%. We're going to do both sides. Right? It'd be like...
It'd be great if my boss did that.
It'd be like your boss saying, you know your Social Security taxes? I'm going to pick those up.
Oh,
right? And then you'd get a 7.65% raise, by the way.
I could go for that. Maybe we should pass that on to Mike.
Yeah, we'll tell Mike. Everybody gets a 7.65% raise.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, that's the 6% pickup. And so what ex-Governor Kuligowski says is that... ensure that employees share in the cost. Well, we have to do something in the legislation because at least at the time I was told we could not collectively bargain a share, that the legislator had locked that legislature, the state law had locked that away. We either picked up 6% as a city or didn't.
Right.
Because realistically, politically, and somewhat even fairly to the employee, you can't just give them a 6% decrease in take-home pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, over time, let's say, hey, next cycle, you're going to contribute 1%. A couple of years from now, you're going to do 2%. However long it takes to step it in and until they are contributing their own 6%, and that would be the way to go. And what I was told by the city manager was, we're not allowed to do that by state law.
What?
So even to have it be revenue neutral for the employee, we would have had to give them 6% raise in a time of almost zero inflation, right? 6% raise, and then make them contribute that to their own retirement. It was all or nothing. It was all or nothing. So I don't know how, Governor Kulongowski, you're going to have the public employee share in this. Because the people after 2003, 2004, after the, some reforms were put in, there's a different tier. They're in a different plan. And they are contributing. They're putting more money in something that resembles more like your private sector 401k.
Well, thank goodness for that. But yeah. So do you know the amount of people that are getting the 6% pickup?
Most. I would say most in municipalities, counties, school districts.
Yeah, man, that's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah. And he has a few other bullet points, so you can check it out on the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, and then check out his webpage.
Kulongowski's got some good ideas still.
Yeah. I'm glad that he's at least discussing it.
Yeah.
You know, and saying, and his point is, and I'll confess that he's pointing his finger at me when he says, we're falling to the situation where we think there is no solution. I mean, you have to stop thinking that. Like, there's nothing we can do.
There's always something we can do, Brent.
Yeah.
Always.
When, here's a quote, from when problems of this magnitude persist without an evident solution, which is pretty much where we've been for a long time.
Long time.
Denial turns into a belief that no solution is possible. So, Governor Kulongowski, go for it. Right? Go for it. Find some solutions and get it through this legislature. Through this legislature. Now we're going to butt heads again with the problem is all of their campaigns were funded by public employee unions.
Right. Yeah. So your face is priceless.
Get it through this legislature.
Good luck with that.
So, hey, good luck with that.
There's a lot of give and take that needs to happen. I mean, a lot of give and take. Both sides. Because the unfunded liability of PERS is so, I can't even imagine $26 million. Can you? I can't.
Billion. Yeah.
Oh, $26
billion? Yeah.
With a B.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it growing.
Wow.
And growing.
How, okay, I get now how it happened, but how did they let it continue to happen is what I want to know. Somebody somewhere needs to make an adjustment.
You're going to have to go back, you know, for decades, through the 80s and through the 90s, before somebody will come and like, oh, wait, we never should have promised 8% to everybody, no matter what the stock market
or did. The 6% pickup.
Oh, wait, we never should have said the 6% pickup was forever.
Right.
So
it made it law.
Never should have preempted anybody from negotiating out of the 6% pickup. You know, they made all these bad decisions, and some of them being made by people who were on PERS. So anyway. I could solve it, you know, but you're right. It's a give and take. I could also
solve a lot of give and take.
I could solve Medicaid and Social Security. Whole another hour, though. Whole another hour.
Did you write it down? Because we could use
that.
We
could just pass it.
Yeah, we could write it up, give it to somebody that is on our side and say, hey, and present it to the other side and say, hey, here's our solution your major problem of PERS.
Yeah, I'm going to write a book. I think the book's going to call It's Not That Hard. It's not that hard. All right, stick with us. We're going to come back. We're going to spend a few minutes with the volcanoes. We got Mitch Graff. We're going to try to have turn down his mic or something. He's a very excitable sort.
He's a very loud man.
Right? So let's talk about some springtime baseball because this year is the earliest opening day baseball game ever in the history of MLB.
And they're back on KYKN.
Oh, and yes, they're on KYKN. So we know the volcanoes are going to win the Northwest League.
That's right.
All right, stick with us. This is Brent and Dave on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. That Mitch, he always throws that in there. He's like, he's got his like terrible towel and the noisemakers, and he's always so excitable. Hey, welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Friday afternoon. We're finishing up your lunch hour by talking to the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. We've got Mitch Graff. What do they call you? You're the You're like, you rent the joint, person, cheerleader.
Yeah, head plumber. I'm a coffee maker there
as well. Execute everything.
I do everything, yeah. Have a wonderful staff around me, though. So maybe I get a little bit of the credit, but the credit needs to be spread around to everybody.
Well, I share your excitement because is today the 28th? Yeah.
It is.
Opening day. Opening day.
Opening day was yesterday. Opening day was yesterday.
So today's the 29th. So it is the earliest opening day for MLB.
That is
in
correct.
History.
And actually, the Mariners played two games in Tokyo about a week and a half ago. So that really pushed the season much earlier than normal.
Yeah. Of course, the Volcanoes are aligned with the San Francisco Giants.
Yep.
Who
lost the first game yesterday, 2-0.
It wasn't the Dodgers, was it?
Dodgers hit 8 home runs yesterday. Major league record for any major league team on opening day. 8 home runs.
Ugh. That's all I have to say about that and the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm a homie. I'm a Giants fan. It would have been nice if we got a couple of those free agent,
That's right. Well, the Giants will bounce back today. I have a feeling they're going to win today.
All right.
It's Good News Friday, guys. I got a bunch of fun things to talk to you about. First of all, as you know, we've kind of rolled out this new plan with concessions. Last week, we announced a couple of new vendors that we're going to give spaces on the inside of the stadium to. We announced El Patron right from here from Kaiser and also South Boss Pizza from down in Albany. Street Tacos, mm-hmm. and Taco Bowls and his handmade burritos. Those are the main items he's going to be selling. This week, I have two more guys I want to roll out. First one is Bahama Mama Shaved Ice. Has a beautiful, very cute little shaved ice trailer that he's going to park on the inside of the stadium. And he's going to be offering, kids or big kids, a small and a large shaved ice. And that's all he's offering is shaved ice. But when it's 95 degrees inside that stadium, that reflective heat off the asphalt, what's better than having a nice shaved ice? So that's the first one. What's that?
Left field line?
Left field line over by Lava Lodge. Awesome. Yes, we got a spot for him and everything. He's excited. And the second one, and actually he's in studio with us, Sean Zorn, who is the owner of Cafe Yum, more than one location. He is going to be one of our new partners this year. We have given him a restaurant space on the inside, and Sean's going to talk to us about his menu and kind of who he is, what Cafe Yum is, and take it from here.
Welcome, Sean.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for coming to the studio.
Yeah, we're really excited to be a part of the Volcanoes this year. We'll be bringing our Yum Bowls, that's our signature dish, from Cafe Yum into the stadium to be serving out to everybody. Also, our bentos with the teriyaki chicken is another big one.
Nice.
So, we're looking forward to feeding everybody.
So, describe the bowl for me, that Cafe Yum. I know I was saying before we came on the air, there's a bottle. You guys sell that your sauce.
Oh, yeah, the signature
Yum sauce. There's one in our fridge right now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what makes the bowl. It starts with organic brown rice and black beans. And then our deluxe toppings, which is fresh cut avocado, tomato, olives. We have Tillamook shredded cheddar cheese, sour cream, cilantro, and of course that Yum sauce. That's what brings that experience different than anything else you'll find.
Hey, those things that you get at Costco that are frozen, those like teriyaki rice bowl things and you pop in the microwave. This is not those. Cafe
Yum.
This
is not that. Definitely not.
Oh, my gosh. They're chopping that fresh avocado, that cilantro, all that great stuff. We'll be able to get that at the ballpark.
Yeah, we're going to be there. We're looking forward to it.
So you're already close by because one of your locations is at Kaiser Station, right?
Yeah, right down the street on Eulalie Drive, 5920. And then we also have our South Salem location out on Commercial.
Yes, I've actually been there. It's close to a dance studio we used to go to, and we could have dinner at your place.
Oh, there you
right?
go.
And yeah. Go up and dance.
Cut a rug.
It's pretty
good. I would like to see you cut a rug, Brent.
Yeah.
I would like to see that one.
It's quite a sight, let me tell you.
Well, and he said the word experience, and if you go to the Cafe Yum store, there's many, many different menu items. What we're doing with the partners is, say, pick 3 or 4 of your best-selling, and instead of doing 15 things adequately, do 3 or 4 things excellently. And so that's what Sean and his team have come up with is 4 things they can do just incredibly fast, execute, and that's part of that fan experience. Get them through the line, get them back sitting in their seats so they can enjoy the game, enjoy their friends and families and coworkers and their children and everything that is baseball. And that's part of that food experience as well. We are going to become the foodie destination in all the Sam Kaiser area. I can almost guarantee that.
That is pretty cool. It's almost like the ballpark becomes your
kitchen.
Yeah, well, even better than your kitchen, your food cart cluster.
And all these favorite flavors. Food cart cluster.
You have all those favorite things. You know, I'm still excited about the variety. And when you go and you would go with the whole family, you're going to find somebody, the wife's in the mood for a street taco, and I'm in the mood for a Yum Bowl, and, the kids are in the mood for something else. So The pizzas that are coming in.
Yeah, not hand-tossed, but handmade pizza. Everything is from scratch. The dough, the toppings, all fresh ingredients. And next week I do have two more vendors I'm going to be rolling out to you. I know who they are, but I'm not going to tell you.
How many vendors total do you anticipate?
We're not sure at this point.
Okay.
It all depends. If it fits into our master plan and it goes into the fan experience being enhanced, then we have to take a look at the category, whether it be, you know, Korean or barbecue. We're actually talking to several barbecue people. That's an automatic for a ballpark, to have good, authentic barbecue. Pulled pork sandwiches, brisket sandwiches, maybe some street corn where you can dress your own corn, stuff like that. And
I think the show's over. I got to go eat lunch.
Yeah, that's right. So as we go over the next several weeks and we finalize what the master plan is going to be, you guys will absolutely be the first to know when
you
that.
You got to have hot dogs too, though.
We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have stadium hot dogs all over the ballpark. That's one of the core products, just like a red vine, a rope, just like peanuts. Those things are going to be there many different locations around the park. So, yeah, we're still working on it, but the ones we have so far, the partners that we've paired with so far are absolutely phenomenal. They get it. It's all about the customer service and the experience that they provide their customers. And so it's meshed in with our vision as well. And I love that. I just absolutely love that.
So, Sean, are you excited about partnering with the Volcanoes and maybe reaching a whole new set of people?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're really excited. You know, it's like you said, you know, for us to get into the ballpark and reach a new group of people is going to be great for us.
Cool.
Yeah.
So are you going to be out there supervising this whole thing, or do you have an operations person that you're going to make them do double duty with your Kaiser Station? Or?
Well, you know, the team was so excited about it, I can't steal all the stage time.
They all
right?
want to come to the stadium.
Yeah, so we'll be splitting that up. We'll have our manager from the Kaiser Station location. He's a big baseball fan,
cool.
Loves the Giants, loves the Volcanoes, and really looking forward to being out there.
All right. I don't want to cut off Sean Zorn, local owner, Cafe Yum, partnering with the Volcanoes, but I think Mitch has something to give away, and we have...
Yeah, let's give away two tickets again to opening night, June 14th, Friday opening night, whatever number of caller you want. I know every day that we do this, the whole switchboard lights up, so
we'll
let her just pick a random number.
Our incredible intern, Aubrianne, is manning the phones,
yeah.
And she's going to find a winner to get those two tickets to opening night,
tickets to opening night, Friday, ooh. June 14th.
503-393-1430. 503-393-1430. Call right now before the hour is up.
Yeah.
And Aubrianne will pick your lucky winner.
One more announcement.
Yes, please.
Met with the executive committee yesterday at the Kaiser Chamber of Commerce with Danielle and her team. And we are now going to be the local and sectional location for the Pitch, Hit, and Run national competition. There's 620,000 people a year that between 7 and 14 years old that participate in Pitch, Hit, Run around their local communities. We are hosting the local competition on May 5th, Sunday. And then on May 19th, we are going to be hosting the sectional. So anyone within a 100-mile radius that comes and competes will be at the stadium. And it's part of Kaiser Fest now. It's an official part of Kaiser Fest.
Really?
So we're helping them, they're helping us, and it's part of the fabric.
Nice tie-in.
Yeah, it is.
Good
it's
work.
Nice. We got to all work together in this, you know? We're all community, it's all about giving back, and it's just a wonderful opportunity, so.
This Mitch Graff, he's got good ideas for the Volcanoes.
Well, and Jerry and Lisa have been just wonderful with talking about ideas, sharing their input so that we can kind of foster in a brand new era at Volcano Stadium. It's exciting to be part of it, and a day like today makes me feel like it's baseball time!
All right, be sure to get your packages, get your 5-game, 10-game, get your season pass, buy a couple of games. Go for Father's Day.
Do
go
a
for
group outing. But yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna sign off this week.
That's
we'll
it.
Look forward to talking next week. Everybody have a fantastic
Make
week.
Make it a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.